To Rockies. How embarrassing was last night? I mean, holy jumping, Phil.
Can you even be mad about it now? I want to be mad about it, but I mean, when you look at what the reports were before the season even started, we had an F grade.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like it out there. 16-1?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That was...
Sign me up.
It was... You're going to put on the purple.
Yeah, you know what? Drew said that he could hit one of Kyler Freeland's balls before we even started.
He did.
I'm starting to think he can.
Oh,
I'm starting to think he can.
We have growing support within the station. Man, you know what? We're all rooting for Kyle.
Yeah.
Boy, but he was a rough watch. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. 3 minutes before kickoff. 3 minutes before first pitch.
Look at you. You was watching a different show after the first two innings.
Well, I'm used to seeing, you know, two touchdowns and two-point conversions be equal 16. I'm not used to seeing 16 on a baseball scoreboard. 2 to 3 minutes before first pitch, I'm like, you want to know what? We're going to bet the Rockies.
Uh-oh.
We're going to bet the Rockies plus a run and a half. They can lose 4-3, still be fine. You know, the total is like 8.5 or something. I'm like,
how much was in your system? How much was in your system to be feeling that good?
You want to know what? There was nothing. There was nothing. That was actual, like, a clear head, which is concerning. I mean, they got absolutely shellacked in a way that, I mean, you could be 100 years old listening to the sound of my voice and watch 100 consecutive opening days, and you had never seen anything like we saw yesterday.
Mm.
14 runs allowed in the third inning. That's a Rockies single inning record. 13 hits allowed in the third. Rockies single inning record. They faced 18 batters in the third. Phil, they hit up and down the lineup twice. That is also a Rockies single inning record. By every metric, it was historically bad.
Oh, boy.
They're off to a rocky start, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when I was watching that game, Zach, there was really nothing to it. Literally, you know, Kyle Freeland had 10 hits on him, right? 10 runs.
Yes.
Ron, Kyle Freeland. And we were talking here yesterday about how he needs to have a bounce back year, and it's going to start opening day. And we're talking about opening day.
I know.
The healthiest you're going to be, the most exciting as a team, as a player you're going to be.
Yeah.
And you go out there and you let another team put 16 points on you, 16 runs on you. All right, and you had one.
Yeah, this is Buddy Black talking about his starter, Kyle Freeland.
Hopefully Kyle makes 32, 33 starts during the regular season. We'll look back at this one as, one that he got knocked around a little bit.
Just a little bit. Here's Buddy talking about that 14-run inning. Wow.
They had a lot of momentum. You know, they just kept getting hits, and, you know, balls kept going through, and balls, you know, kept dropping the balls that sort of couple were looped into the outfield. But, you know, that's baseball.
That's baseball.
Mm.
That's baseball. So sometimes you lose 16-1. So
what do you think he's thinking right now, Buddy? Bud Black, like we've talked about it as a manager, like there's not a lot he can do. We all like him. But whatever you're given, that's what you have to go out there and yeah. Let shine.
Yeah.
And right now the Rockies don't have anything to let shine.
Take that for data.
What do I think Buddy's feeling? I bet Buddy is feeling like, you know, when I was in the first 10 years of this media journey, mm-hmm. I've been on, I would work whatever job I had to work to keep this broadcasting dream alive. And one of them was being a substitute teacher. And I did it for a handful of districts. And one of the districts was in Troy, New York, and it is the hood. And I remember I would go into, it'd be like 7 o'clock in the morning, and I would just see what kind of class I had that day, and I'd say, damn it, this is going to be a long day.
No, picture Zach, a substitute teacher.
No joke.
Oh, those kids were doing anything and everything they wanted.
No, you want to know what? And I hand to God, it was usually the opposite.
Oh.
Because you're not used to, like, And you know, like I'm 6 foot four. You're like not used to seeing like a lot of 6 foot four like male substitute teachers who walk in and be like, hey, dude, don't do that. Like, no, don't do that. Just like kind of just being like real and direct. And more oftentimes than not, the kids would respond to me well, typically. But there was some days. There was some days where a couple of those kids would tell me where to go. And they're like, I want to fight you. You're 14. I want to physically fist fight you. But I bet that's how Buddy's feeling. That was like day number one. That's like, this is going to be a long year, man. It's going to be a long year.
Day number one, 162 games in the first game of the season.
Yeah.
You give up 16 runs.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a long, long, long year.
Yeah. Well, I've heard the question asked throughout the day on the morning show with Mike and Mark and with Stokely and Josh. They lost their first game.
Yeah.
Will the Rockies get back to 500 at any point this year? What do you think?
It's the first game of the year. I'm still sticking with what I said earlier, and it's a no. I don't think so. If they don't win tonight and get back to even, it's going to be a long, long, long year, Zach.
Kamaje Granderson behind the glass. They have their first seven games on the road. That this is a big factor in can they get back to 500? Because they transition after four against the D-backs down in Arizona to Chicago to play the Cubs for three. KJ, do the Rockies get back to 500 at any point this year?
Yes. Not only do they get back to 500, they will be 500 through the end of April.
What? Wow. Let's remember this.
Okay, Bud
Black. Let's remember this. I like that. Okay, Bud Black. Drew Spivak, do the Rockies get back to 500?
I think by 10 o'clock tonight, maybe 11 o'clock, depending on how long this game goes, they will be back to 500. I think they're going to come back and win tonight. Baseball is such a goofy, funky game over 162 games that after you come back from a butt-whooping like they took last night.
Yes.
Cal Quantrill on the mound tonight for the Rockies against Merrill Kelly.
Yeah.
I like their chances to come back and win tonight. Now, I say that by with saying they're probably going to lose Saturday. They're probably going to lose Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think they bounce back and win once. Huh? Yeah. Well, for now, for this series.
They're going to win one of these games.
They're going to win one.
They're going to win one of these games because that's baseball. That's baseball. Baseball is freaky. And I think they win tonight as well. I actually do. I actually agree. I think they win tonight as well. But KJ's prediction.
Yeah, KJ's feeling a little generous.
We'll see. Hey, the Rockies are known for like April starts. So then you got, you know, what happens after that. But all right, we'll see. The Avalanche lost a thrilling game to a legit contender last night. Had some sprinkles of controversy and an end of something historic. That's where we'll take a dive into coming up next. Fast on a rough road riding. The Colorado Avalanche lost a thrilling game to a bona fide contender in the New York Rangers last night. There was a little sprinkle of controversy that we'll get to in a second because we actually have some news related to that. But before we pass that along, Phil, what did you make of the game last night?
I couldn't keep my eyes off the game, right? Every single second, something was going on. And on both sides of the ice. But for Georgiev, man, I had to take my hat off and bow down to him because I'm proud of what he did. Yeah, he gave up a couple goals, but that was not all on him.
No.
But man, that man went out there and he stood on his head.
He was awesome. Both Georgie and Igor Shesterkin both of them.
Yeah.
It was
fun.
Yeah, just a hat tip. Yeah, it really was. And, you know, Igor's one of the best. I mean, he's one of the three best goaltenders in the world, and he's probably not three. Georgie was his backup, and we were hoping that he'd come in with that chip on his shoulder when we were talking about it yesterday, and he certainly did. And it made like, you know, there wasn't it wasn't some sort of, you know, 5-4 game, but if you actually watched it, that was one of the most exciting games of the year. And in terms of just like the level of play and the completeness from both teams, I thought that maybe along with one other game, maybe against Boston earlier in the year, I thought that was the highest level game that we saw throughout the season with maybe just a few others that may not be coming to the forefront of my mind right now.
Yeah.
It felt like a real real playoff Stanley Cup type of preview potentially.
If it is, you know, we're in store for a treat, man. That's going to be a lot of viewers for that game if this comes true. But the fact is this: when I'm looking at this game, Zach, if Igor is not between the pipes, we win that game.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He made some crazy saves that I'm like, yo, usually that goes in for us.
Yeah.
Or we may get a couple puck luck and it goes in between the pipes. But also, we didn't have Val. You know, we did all this, but we didn't have Val. And Val's a big part to why we win and our success. And he isn't healthy right now.
No.
So I'm interested to see how things will look if Val was playing.
Yeah, and that might have been the difference. And it is, man. It is almost, it's borderline shocking, the Avalanche record with and without Val Nichushkin. Mm. And yeah, I heard Mike talking about this morning, and we've referenced it through Val's time when he was not with the team. But even when MacKinnon doesn't play, even when Makar doesn't play, it's not as dramatic in the winning percentage that takes a freaking nosedive when Val Nichushkin does not play. And in a game that you lose 3-2 by way of shootout,
yeah,
Val could have been the difference. So I think it's fair to sort of speculate what that would look like if he was around.
How'd you feel with the game, Zach? We lost the game, yeah. But overall, how did you feel about it?
I felt good about it. I actually thought the Avs outplayed New York. I really did. And I know the final score doesn't reflect that. But again, just watching the game and knowing the temperature of it on a shift-by-shift basis, the Avs outshot the Rangers. The Avs outhit the Rangers. The Avs won the battle at the faceoff. And, you know, like you said, if it's not Igor, maybe the Avs win, you know, 4-3, 5-3. And then you could also say this. We've seen Georgie have nights where if he's not the best version of himself, the Rangers could have scored 6 last
yes,
night.
Yes.
But Georgiev was so damn good. I mean, you have Panarin on a 1-0 breakaway, and it's just gobbled up. You had a shot that was turned away by the skinny end of a stick, not the big pad or blocker. I mean, it's just glove save with no time left to send it into overtime. I mean, there was 3 or 4 other saves like that from Georgiev that was just, it was just really impressive. I just thought it was a really, really high-level game that, unfortunately, and to a man, they essentially said this on the broadcast, like, after the game, unfortunately, someone had to lose, and it was the Avs.
Yeah, I mean, watching Georgiev between the pipes, Zach, at first I was kind of, uh-oh, here's a breakaway. What are we going to get? What part of Georgie are we going to get? Are we going to get the good part, or are we going to get the one that's like, here we go again? But over time, I started to get comfortable and confident that Georgiev wasn't going to give up any. You know, he was going to save more than he was going to let go, and that was the case. And although we did lose within a shootout, which, by the way, I know a lot of people don't like that. I really don't like it either. I wish we could go to a double overtime and just continue to play on.
See, but the thing is, it's like in the regular season, you could wear yourself out.
Yeah.
Because we've seen some of these playoff games that go to double OT and sometimes even trip, and it's like these games go 4 hours. It's, if you have a game the next night, you know, so I understand they've put the once you go into overtime and they cut down the number of players and they just want a conclusion.
Yeah.
So I understand why they do it, but it doesn't feel like, especially a night like last night, you actually do just want to see them keep playing.
Yeah, like it just doesn't feel like it's a fitting ending.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, we're going to go with shots. It's like, no, man, let the best team win.
Yeah. And speaking of not a fitting ending, Nathan MacKinnon's season-opening home point streak ends at 35 games. It looked like for a second that he was going to get an assist on the Taze goal, but after carefully looking at it, it was an own goal by Lindgren. And when it's an own goal, when they put it in themselves, it just goes to the last player who touched the puck from the scoring team. And then you don't get an assist on it. I know some folks were upset about this. How did you feel about it?
It was right there, clear cut. It just didn't happen for MacKinnon. And it's okay. It's okay. At some point, things come to an end. I didn't want it to come to an end. And I know he didn't. I felt like he was stressing and trying to find a way at the end to get that point,
yeah,
which I was there for him. Like, come on, let's get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just didn't happen, which is it is what it is.
It is what it is. Bednar talked about Nate's streak after the game.
It's incredible. I mean, really, it's incredible. It just speaks to the consistency and the high level of play for that long. It's incredible. I mean, look at who he's trying to track down, Gretzky at 40.
And I think that's what made the streak special. Mm. I just don't know if we'd be talking about this home point streak to beginning a season if it wasn't Wayne Gretzky, who was at the end of the road. Like, if it was Alexei Yashin, I just don't know if we would talk about it as much. But it was amazing. It was great. It was so fun to follow. It became like a subplot to the entire season. I mean, we've been talking about this for months now. So
it's exciting. It gives you something to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a healthy distraction in addition to the games. You know, it became like, again, this sort of side thing. And Jared Bednar talked about how the streak was not a distraction to this hockey club.
I think it's a positive thing. You know, guys are excited for him. And, you know, guys get excited on our team when other players hit milestones and, you know, have big nights. And, you know, it's a tight group in there. And so I think it's been a real positive thing, like, especially down the last little bit. I don't think anyone thinks about it when he's at 15, 16, 17, 20, whatever. But you start getting to the, you know, when he starts passing the number three and number two on the list, I think guys are all, like, really rooting for him.
And you could tell, I saw Cale Makar's face in the post game when he's in the locker room. I stayed up and watched it, and he was like, wait, he didn't get it? He's like, what about in the Taze goal? They're like, no, and it's, he's like, wow. Like, so all those guys thought that he had extended.
They care. They care about it, man.
They do.
And that's when you know you have a team.
Yeah.
When you're able to care about a person, your teammate, and what they're doing, and it doesn't have to benefit you, but you still feel good about it.
Right.
You have a good teammate.
Yeah, no question. All right, is something in Colorado sports dying right in front of our eyes? That's coming up next.
Man. You ever meet somebody that likes all the same things you do?
Is something in Colorado sports dying in front of our eyes? And in some ways, I'm speaking on behalf of our friend James Merrillat from DenverSports.com. I feel like we haven't talked to you in a couple weeks.
It has been a while. Certainly in person, it's been a while. So good to see you guys.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
I forgot where the studio was.
I know, dude. I thought you were Mr. Like, get everyone back to work. Now we don't see James.
Smart. That's what you do.
That's right.
Bring everybody back while you go on vacation.
That's right.
James, what's dying for you?
Baseball in general. Mm. And it starts with the Rockies. And look, I grew up playing baseball. I was a big-time fan. Back in the day, I used to be able to tell you players on every single roster. Before the Rockies came here, I was a fan of the Mets because they wore orange and blue. I was a Broncos fan. That's how you make decisions when you're a kid.
Right.
I can still tell you the starting lineup of the 1986 Mets. I can tell you their starting rotation. I can name more players on that team than the current Rockies. And I just watched them last night. It's just a sport that has become relatively unimportant in my life. And a lot of it is because the local team just isn't competitive. It's not interesting to me when you're the Washington Generals, when you're just there to provide fodder for the opponent, and they are so bad. And last night was an extreme example, but it also was kind of a microcosm of what they're going to be all year, that I don't want to do it anymore. And that franchise has been important to me. I mean, kind of to play the old guy card here, but like, I was in the building when EY hit a home run in the first at bat of a home game.
Yes.
I was there for the play-in game when Matt Holliday, you know, tore up his chin, and did he touch home plate or not touch home plate? For some of the World Series games, all those kind of things. I love going to baseball. One of my favorite memories is going with my grandpa and my dad and me, and it's three generations. And, you know, it was the summer before my grandpa passed away, and my grandma was not letting him eat and drink certain things. He had two Rocky Dogs with all the peppers and a couple of beers, and like, nope, we're not going to tell grandma.
Oh, that's fun.
Like, that's the stuff that the memories you make at the ballpark.
Yeah.
This team is just so bad, and this franchise is so bad. It just makes you not want to go support it, not give them your money, at least for me. And that bums me out. It really does. I'd like nothing more than to be excited about last night and be excited about next Friday. Next Friday will be a fun party, but I'm not excited about the baseball team, and that stinks.
And real quick, do you think it is your interest in baseball just a reflection of the Rockies, or is it larger to the sport? Because that's where I'm trending. I like baseball, and I want to like it even more. And last year they made a bunch of rule changes that I believe really benefited the game.
Yeah.
The offense was up and it was shorter and it was just more
fast paced.
Yeah, it was more fast paced, exactly. Yeah. And I'm still not watching it. I don't know what they can do to bring me back in the way that the NBA has me or college basketball will have me this weekend or certainly NFL football.
Well, one of the things they need to do is it needs to be a salary capped sport. The fact that it's not makes it to where you have the haves and the have-nots. And people say, well, look at the World Series last year. It was the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. But those teams, particularly the Diamondbacks, are a one-off, right? Like the Royals won a World Series a decade ago. They were in two and three years or maybe even back-to-back. They were in a couple. And they've been terrible ever since, right? Like you, kind of like the Rockies. They were good in 2017 and 18, and then they're terrible ever since. But the haves are good every single year. It's the Yankees. It's the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers offseason was just a joke. It's monopoly money. And you can't compete when you're in that kind of sport. I don't necessarily blame Dick Monfort. He doesn't have that those kind of revenue streams. He doesn't have those kind of coffers. So what's he going to do? That, to me, makes it a sport that isn't interesting to me. Funny you say college basketball. College basketball during the tournament is fantastic. It's been great. I've watched a ton of the games with my kids. We've had a great time doing the bracket, doing a little open the app. But I don't watch it during the regular season.
I know.
And when the first Thursday and Friday of the tournament, I'm learning most of the players.
Yeah, you're like most people.
Why is Caitlin Clark not just the most popular college basketball player in the country? She's the most popular college athlete in the country.
I agree with that.
She's been there for 4 years.
Yeah.
You see her year after year after year.
Yep.
And why, if they beat CU, which I'm hoping they don't, but if they do and if LSU wins, you've got this game that's a rematch of last year. You never see that in men's college basketball now. Because the rosters of the good teams change over. It's why UConn's such an aberration of, you know, you don't have back-to-back champs anymore because the team all leaves. I think they're the first defending champ to go to the Elite Eight since, like, the Gators when they won back-to-back titles almost 20 years ago. So college basketball, the tournament's great. The sport is broken. Baseball, I don't even think the playoffs are great anymore. That sport is just broken to me.
And the biggest problem is, and I'm sorry, Phil, I'm jumping again.
No, go ahead.
You know what the biggest problem is? Where the best time of year comes around, and it is playoff baseball, what are they running up against?
NFL
football.
Touchdown! Yep.
Yeah, and it's like, when you flip from a baseball game to a football game, it almost feels like you're watching a game from the past and watching a game from the future. That's how different they are from a just excitement and temperature standpoint.
Yeah, it's tough, and it's a tough sell with young people, too. I mean, I have an 18-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 12-year-old. Zero interest in baseball. None. I kept clicking it over last night to the Rockies game. Now, part of it, we were laughing and having a good time in the third inning of like, hey, when we click back over at the 8-minute commercial break during the college basketball game, will they still be in the third inning? And sure enough, they were.
Right.
But the game, even when it was semi-competitive, they were like, you know, faking like they were falling asleep. I mean, the three of us not liking it,
man,
and old guy not liking it, and me, that's a problem. The fact that young people don't like it and have zero interest in it, not to speak in generalities, but for the most part, that's a major problem for that sport.
Well, James, let's stick on the baseball with Dick Monfort, right? And you said something right there saying, hey, you know, it's not all his fault. And I understand he doesn't have all the money in the world because he doesn't, you know, but it's a little of his fault because of where he put that money, right? Where has he put that money at times? Like Chris Bryant right now, right? We didn't even think he was going to play tonight.
Yeah.
He got hit in the shin. I was like, uh-oh. He's glass.
You're 100% right. Now, here's what's unfair that people say about Dick Monfort when they call him cheap, because he's not. They're typically, and I haven't looked at this year, but typically middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Right? And they're middle of the pack in terms of, they're a little over middle of the pack in terms of attendance, but they're not really middle of the pack in terms of revenue because their TV deal is so bad.
Right.
So I actually think he spends money, but you hit the nail on the head, Phil. He spends money poorly. And why? Because since 1999, when they hired Dan O'Dowd, they have promoted from within for a quarter century at general manager. And Dick Monfort will say things like, yeah, I think we got the best general manager in baseball, and then can't name another one.
Yeah.
So you got to hire the right people, and that's been his downfall. He's loyal to a fault. I think he's
he admitted this week, by the way, to Troy Rank.
Which is, hey, a little self-awareness is good.
Yeah.
I think we all like to work with people that we like.
Sure.
But a little bit of conflict is good. You get too many yes men and you get a team that looks like this. That's his biggest fault. He's not flawless, but you know what? They've done a great job being stewards of that ballpark. It's an unbelievable place to go. You travel around the country. It's like going to Fenway. It's like going to Dodger Stadium. I mean, it's the third oldest building in the National League, which is hard to believe, behind Wrigley and Dodger Stadium. And they've done a fantastic job with it. It's a great place to go. but their on-field product is just dreadful.
1-16.
We are up against it 1 minute or less. Give us your snapshot thoughts on where the Broncos are at the quarterback position. Some of the things that we learned this week, who's gaining momentum. Feels like Michael Penix is kind of sticking his head back in the frame here.
I sure hope so, because it's so funny to me. In between the semifinal game and the national title game, if you'd have said, hey, J.J. McCarthy might go fourth overall and Michael Penix Jr. might go in the second round, you guys would have laughed me out of the room.
Mm.
Like, it's so funny how much one game and then a bunch of workouts and shorts changes things. But Michael Penix Jr., look, if you can do Brock Bowers with number 12 and then do whatever you got to do to get up there and take Michael Penix Jr., sign me up. And this has been one of the worst offseasons the Broncos have ever had. That'll save it. That'll make it to where I might actually buy a Broncos jersey and put that Russ jersey on a hanger.
Where is it now?
Well, the Steelers one's in the mail. It's coming.
Oh, no! Oh, he's going to feel the chill in that trophy.
The orange one's hanging proudly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know what? Speaking of
that, KJ,
Zach was the one that was on Michael Penix Jr. probably more than anybody. And then one odd day, I come in here, he takes out the Michael Penix jersey, throws it in the trash.
Yep.
And pulls out a J.J. McCarthy out of thin air. And I'm like, what are you doing?
And by the way, J.J. McCarthy became my guy probably 5 weeks ago with you before he started blowing up. And I have my reasons, and I'm sticking to them. But
you have no choice now. You're not on this ship. You are not on the Russ ship.
I'll get on that.
And you're not on the Michael Penix Jr.
I'm definitely not on the Russ ship. It's at the bottom of the ocean.
Until he comes
here. In the
next
5 years, I want to win two.
KJ, knock it off. all right.
JJ would have been a bad pick at 12 if they trade up to get him. Oh,
I think that's misinformed and a little too much groupthink from people who have that dissenting opinion. I'll lay out my reasons for JJ McCarthy, but also you need to get to basketball practice.
I do. All right. Go basketball games. My kid didn't want to go. I'm making him go. I'm being a good parent, so I got to get him there on time.
All right. I got one of those tomorrow morning, yep. My 5-year-old. So go have some fun, man.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
All right. This weekend will be one of the busiest Colorado sports weekends in recent memory. If you could only watch one game this weekend, what would it be? We'll go over the candidates coming up next. Happy Friday to ya! We are rolling downhill and having fun while we do it. If you want to hit up the RamosLaw.com text line for weighing in on the direction that we're about to go here, because I am interested in what some of our listeners are thinking with the following conversation. I want to get back to talking about the Bronco quarterback, because we could have just kept on going there with James, but James had to go. And
yeah.
There is it does feel like the landscape is shifting a little bit here. Shifting for totally different reasons with different players, and we'll talk about that here in about 10 minutes or so. But this weekend will be one of the busiest sports weekends in recent memory. And I'm curious, if you could watch just one game this weekend, just one, what would it be?
Mm.
And I am including tonight's game, because the weekend starts tonight.
Once we get off air, baby, it's time.
And for most people, it might be right now. It might be in 8 minutes at 5 o'clock. I mean, it's here. We can reach out and touch it. But man, it's going to be a loaded sports weekend, Phil. We have the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Number one seed in the Western Conference, home court advantage through the playoffs, on the line in many ways tonight. You have the Colorado Avalanche hosting the red hot Nashville Predators team tomorrow afternoon. That's an early start, by the way. I think 4 o'clock, puck drops. You have the CU women in the Sweet 16 in a rematch from this time last year against Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes at 1:30 on ABC. You have DU men's hockey team playing for a chance to punch their ticket to the Frozen Four. I misspoke yesterday when we were watching it. We were reacting to their double overtime. Winner against who'd they beat? Was it UMass? Yeah, yesterday. In New England, despite being the number one seed. And so it's tomorrow is a chance to punch their ticket with a win over Cornell to the Frozen Four. All right. That game's on ESPNU tomorrow afternoon. You have the NCAA tournament, March Madness. I mean, you're going to have UConn in action, Alabama versus Clemson. It's going to be a busy weekend on that front. And then you have Major League Baseball opening up their season. I figured I'd just throw the Rockies in this conversation out of respect. If you, like, wanted to, like, what is that, what's that thing at the zoo? It's like the oddity people, like when you, like, go into the trailer, see, like, the bearded lady or, like,
yeah,
you know, it's like, it.
Well, if we're talking about the zoo and all the different locations you can go, the Colorado Avalanche are probably in, like, the, where they have, like, a plant section where there's, like, a little bit of birds where the plants are. I kind of always pass that one. To go see the lions and the elephants.
Well, you know, I misspoke. I said the zoo. I meant the circus.
Okay.
When you go to the circus, there's, like, you, like, pay $2 to go in, like, a trailer. Do you guys ever see that?
Yeah.
It's like a 700-pound person.
Like the freak show.
Yeah, it's like a freak show. Yeah. Yes. If you wanted to look at a sports freak show, like the third inning last night, the Rockies could be a part of that conversation. But I'm curious, what's your answer to this question? I want to hear from the fellas behind the glass, too.
Man, this is truly a hard one to answer for you. But and I think we're going to all have more of the similar answers. It has to be the Lady Buffs, right? They're doing something here that can be special if they can beat Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. All right, J.R. Payne has done a great job with those women. And if she can find a way to upset them, national TV, it's a big thing for the program, and it's a big thing for her.
I'm not going to give you a lot of pushback on that. And reasonable minds can disagree on this because we have some awesome games this weekend. Drew Spivak, behind the glass, if you could have just one viewing experience of a sporting event this weekend, what would you pick?
Man, first off, I don't know how you pick just one. These are all like great things other than the Rockies opening series thing. But I think given the stakes, what's on the line in each of these games, I mean, Nuggets-Timberwolves, obviously a huge game, battling for the number one seed. Avs, possible playoff preview against Nashville. CU women, trying to get to the Elite Eight. For me, I think it's DU hockey.
Really?
Trying to get to the Frozen Four. Trying to get their 10th national championship to be the all-time leader in college hockey national championship.
Oh, aren't they tied with, like, Michigan?
They're tied with Michigan right now. Each of them have 9. And also, I will preface this, I'm a hockey guy first and foremost.
Yeah,
so
no, that's why we're asking.
I think I would give the slight edge to the DU hockey game over the CU women.
Wow. All right. That game tomorrow afternoon on ESPNU. Kamaje, if you could watch one sporting event this weekend in this jam-packed slate, what would it be?
I'm with Phil. It's got to be the Buffs because the truth is we are getting ready to see one of the most historical games potentially in women's college history if the Buffs can do what we think they're going to do. And I don't think you want to hear about it. I think you want to see it. You want to feel the emotions of like, dang, they just knocked off one of, if not the greatest women's college basketball player in history.
Certainly the greatest scorer in history.
Oh, no doubt.
And Richie?
Yeah, sign me up for Phil and KJ. I want to watch the CU women, and if they can take down Caitlin Clark, the face of college sports, arguably, definitely women's college sports, the Steph Curry of her generation on that arc, if the CU women can do that, that to me would be something that I want to remember where I was and when I watched it. DU, we've been fortunate enough to watch DU climb the mountaintop and do that, and I kind of expect them to win, whereas with this game with CU in Iowa, I'm like going back and forth on it.
Well, I'll tell you this, fellas. The CU women opened as a 8.5-point favorite. It's down to 6.5. When you see a number move that much, two full points.
Well, Iowa is the favorite, right?
Yes, Iowa's the favorite. Okay. So CU went from, I think it opened at 8.5, and then it gets bet down, and bet down, now it's at 6.5.
Okay.
It's because professional money is coming in on CU. They think that's too many points. They think this game is going to be really competitive. And they're thinking, like me, see, you may have a chance to win. And for all the reasons that you guys stated, and when I tell you, I'm not like, we talk with KJ every day. KJ loves women's basketball. I can't sit, I'd be misrepresenting myself if I tried to put myself in that camp.
Yeah.
You know how many full women's basketball games I've watched this year? Zero.
Mm.
Ask me tomorrow night, and that answer will change. Because if I had one game to watch this weekend and I had to pick, and luckily we don't, but if I had to, I'm watching that Sweet 16 game against Iowa. I just am. I just, for all the reasons that these guys said, the star power, the attention on this game, it's a rematch. And that plays into it too. We saw this in this exact stage last year in the Sweet 16. And man, I think that if CU can pull this off and end Caitlin Clark's career, it will be like a thing that Richie said, like, you're going to remember that for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, and think about this. For majority of the teams that are going to play tomorrow, except for maybe DU, which it's win or go home, okay, you're going to still be able to see them again.
Yeah.
Right? The Nuggets, yeah, if they lose, okay, it's not the end of the world. They're still going to be up there, and they're still going to be fighting for that championship, right? The Avalanche are the same thing. And the Colorado Rockies, we still got 161 more games.
Right.
Like, right. What are we talking about? Right. We can see them anytime we want.
Right.
But for this women's game, Caitlin Clark, this may be her last time, all right, playing in that uniform. And this may hurt people's ears. I know KJ will like it. And I grew up watching women's sports because both of my sisters played sports, and that's kind of what got me going.
Yeah.
Right? Was watching them.
Yeah.
My wife was a soccer stud, so I was out there watching her all the time.
Sure.
Women's sports, if you really sit down and watch it, it's authentic and it's fun and it's more exciting at a lot more times than some of these men's sports.
Well, I'll tell you, big picture, I disagree with the final point.
Yeah.
But the masses are starting to agree with you. Like, the ratings on women's sports have exploded.
Yeah.
WNBA, last year, their finals highest rated in 20 years.
Yeah.
And we talked about this earlier in the week, and I am expecting this to be the case. I believe more people will watch the Colorado women's basketball team play Iowa tomorrow than watch the World Series this past year.
Mm.
I believe that. And I think we're going to come in here on Monday and be reacting to 8.5 to 9 million people watching this game.
9 million.
Yeah, you did.
On top of this, Zach, you have a daughter.
Yes.
And one of these days, she might end up wanting to play basketball and be a basketball star. And that's when you're going to start falling in love with it, because anything your daughter wants to do, and if she's good at it, and she's the next Caitlin Clark, oh, best believe you're going to be making sure that you're at every single game, and everything you can do to support that, you are going to do it.
1,000%.
And I think that when you have men that never had a daughter play or don't have kids at this point, then you don't think of it. But then when you have sisters playing, you have a wife that's playing,
sure,
you have a daughter,
sure,
that
right,
at one point you're going to have to start seeing what she wants to do.
Yeah.
You're going to get more involved.
And this is why our perspectives are just different.
Yeah.
As a person, like, your perspective is different on this than mine. I've never been more open to welcoming in women's sports into my life, but I'd be lying to our audience if I said this was a part of my lifestyle. So, but I can't wait for tomorrow.
It's going to be exciting.
My wife's got a hair appointment, and during the time, I said, perfect. Like, because we're going to be watching that game in our house. Like,
when's date night for you? Because I know she's getting her hair done up.
Hey, well,
because you guys are going to go on a date.
We are going on a date tomorrow night. We are. That's going to happen. KJ, what do you see on the RamosLaw.com text line?
All right, the 505 wants to know, is Caitlin Clark the most important sports figure in the last decade?
The most important sports figure in the last decade. She's definitely up there. Because it's not just about, when you talk about important, it's not just about stats. It's about doors opening. It's about changing the trajectory of the sport. And she's done that. She's done that. So in the last decade, I think of what Steph Curry has done, what Jokic has done, what Otani has done, what Caitlin Clark has done. Those are the names that immediately come to mind. Who else? I mean, Mahomes in the last decade has rewritten everything.
Did you say Jokic, right?
Jokic, okay, yeah, for sure. She's in that conversation, man. Good for her, man. It's like she left a sport in a better place than she found it. Who can say that? So impressive.